This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio.
From Television City in Hollywood.
Good Times, popular sitcom from the 1970s. It exposed America to one of its first two-parent African-American families. It also exposed us to the art of Ernie Barnes, whether you know it or not. The opening credits end with a painting depicting the family, and that portrait, along with most of the art featured in the series, was the work of Ernie Barnes. Ernie Barnes was from a section of Durham, North Carolina, known as the Bottoms, went to what is now North Carolina Central University in Durham, and used Durham as an inspiration for many of his paintings. But before he became famous for his artwork, he played professional football in the NFL. The North Carolina Museum of History will showcase some of his work in an exhibit called The North Carolina Roots of Artist Ernie Barnes. And North Carolina Central University is going to celebrate what would have been his 80th birthday in July. Joining us to talk about the life and legacy of Ernie Barnes is Luce Rodriguez, who worked with him over two decades as co-executor and is now co-executor of his estate. Thanks for joining us, Luce.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Also with us is Ernie Barnes' eldest daughter, Dee Dee Barnes. Hello, Dee Dee.
Hi.
Good to have you here. So tell us what it was like growing up with your dad, famous painter, now a famous painter. What was it like growing up with him?
Just a lot of fun. We had paintings everywhere, he used, instead of a regular artist palette, when we were younger, he used the plates that were in the kitchen, whatever he found to put paint on.
He was happiest when he was painting, right?
Yes, yes. If he wasn't painting, he wasn't fun to be around.
That's interesting. And this goes way back. I mean, you won't remember this because you're his daughter, but the stories are that when he was in school, he just wanted to duck out and sketch, right?
That's what I've heard.
And Hyde. Luce, tell us a little bit more, because you worked with Ernie Barnes for two decades, and of course he wasn't always famous as a painter. He did start here in Durham, and he used to hide behind the bleachers, am I right? So he'd go to the games, but he wasn't interested. All he wanted to do was make sketches.
Well, he was hiding out when he was younger. He was bullied as a child. He liked to draw. But he even admits that he was very unathletic and shy, and he was bullied. So he would hide from the other students. And the story goes that there was a masonry teacher in junior high, Tommy Tucker, who found him drawing in a notebook. And he happened to be the bodybuilding coach and taught him about weightlifting. And then Ernie became really good at it and confident. And he became a star athlete in high school.
This is like the ads we used to see in the back of the comic books, how you could, go from a 90-pound weakling to kick sand in the face of the bullies or whatever. Pretty amazing story. Not only that, but he gets a scholarship. He goes to North Carolina Central, right, and had a full scholarship?
Yes, he did. He majored in art. He got a full track and football scholarship.
And ended up playing in the NFL, Dee Dee, and played for San Diego, right?
Played for the San Diego Chargers. My mother and I and my brother flew out to meet him right after he, joined the Chargers. I was about 6 years old, and I was about four. My brother was a baby. And we lived in San Diego for several years while he played with the Chargers.
And here's the thing. We're talking about a guy who was bullied in middle school and maybe elementary school who ends up playing offensive guard. Now, if you're not familiar with football, I'll just tell you, that's the guy who gets hit every play. Right? The quarterback, sometimes not. The end, sometimes not. Maybe the running backs, they're not in every play. The guard, every single play. So this guy was in the middle of it.
Yeah, he was a pretty big guy at the time. So.
Well, what was it? Because I'm also told, and Dee Dee and Luce, you can both tell me more about this, that he was far less interested in football than he was in art. All the time he was interested in his drawings.
Right, the whole time. His joy was art. Football was something that he could do because of his size and because of the talent that he had as far as an athlete. But his joy was always art. That's what he wanted to do, and that's what made him happy.
Luce, how would you describe the art, if there is a category that you'd put this in? How did the critics describe it?
Well, some people call it figurative painting. Some people call it neo-mannerism. because it takes on the mannerism of, I think, 16th century mannerism, where there's a lot of movement, a lot of elongation, a lot of colors, a lot of use of the body. Ernie kind of perfected it and elongated it because of his athletic experience.
Didi, what was it? Did he talk a lot about his art and his process growing up, or was he mostly just doing it?
Mostly, you know, just doing it. As children, we were used to paintings being around the house, and he painted in the garage. He painted in what was at one point my sister's room, and just wherever there were paintings, you know, all over the place.
How did it come to be that his painting was featured in Good Times?
From what I remember, and Luce, you can correct me on this, they were looking for something for J.J. to do, the character J.J. They didn't know what he was going to do. And my dad ended up, I think, the producer of the show or the person in charge of the show.
Yeah, was it Norman Lear?
Norman Lear, yeah, yes.
Yeah.
He was going to buy a painting, I believe, and my dad, you know, was there talking to him about that. And Norman said, oh, well, you know, I think we'll make J.J. An artist. So I kind of just fell into it.
So, Luz, that means if he's selling paintings to Norman Lear, that by this time, so the early 70s, somebody was familiar with his work and buying his art. How big a deal in the art world was Ernie before all of this, before Good Times?
We have to figure Ernie was a football player, and they didn't take artists very serious, football players very seriously, becoming an artist. It was quite a novelty. Actually, Ernie's the first American professional athlete in the four major sports to become a noted painter.
Wow. And where was he? How would he have come to Norman Lear's attention then in the early 70s?
Well, that's one of the things about the exhibition. There's so much more to his story other than Good Times. A lot of people don't even know that he did a few movies. And so he was around that industry for a while, and that's how I think he met with Norman Lear.
So the painting does, he takes that painting, it's called The Sugar Shack, and that was the one I think that we see at the end, right?
Mm-hmm.
But meanwhile, there are other paintings, because you say J.J.'s going to be an artist, so we need work. We need to show some stuff, and most of that is Ernie's stuff. Is that right, Luz?
A majority of it is his work. Toward the end, they were using another artist, but the majority is his.
So, Didi, what did that mean for you? Did things change for you? When did you realize your father was a big deal?
I actually didn't realize till I was much older. When Good Times came out and, you know, his paintings were there, we thought, oh, well, this is great. You know, this is wonderful. It's great to see Dad's artwork on television and all. And we got a chance to go to the set and meet the characters. But that was, you know, just something that was nice. I think for me, I didn't really realize that Daddy was a big deal until Alex Haley came over to the house one day.
That's a pretty good clue, isn't it?
He came over for dinner, and I was like, whoa, you know, this is nice.
Wow. Well, that's not been... So tell me about the trajectory then, Luz, of his career and kind of how it takes off. As you say, he was doing other things before that painting. Did his exposure on Good Times have an impact on his career?
Very much so. Throughout his career, Ernie really didn't do very much advertising. It was mostly a grassroots kind of movement. He was lucky enough that people called him. Many of the people who grew up watching his work, when they became celebrities or famous athletes, they would contact him, like Will Smith, Kanye, many people sought him out. From different walks of life, actually.
Well, Marvin Gaye, not to mention Marvin Gaye, and that the album cover that he ended up doing for Marvin Gaye, or the painting that became the album cover for Marvin Gaye. Tell us about that.
Well, actually, Marvin Gaye and Ernie Barnes used to be basketball buddies. They would play pickup games in the park, and Ernie showed him the painting, and Marvin, of course, went crazy over and asked to borrow it. And Ernie said no, and they argued, and finally Marvin got his way, took the painting, and never contacted Ernie. About a week later, he gets a call from Motown saying that they wanted to use it on the album cover. And Ernie just wanted his painting back and said he wasn't an album cover artist.
Wow.
And then he said that the money got too good, and so he said yes. And that's another reason why his work is out there, because of that album.
Dee Dee, that's how cool your father was. He tells Marvin Gaye no.
Oh, that's exactly it.
but also the promotion side of it, that is an interesting side of the story, Luce. The idea that it would seem from stories like that he wasn't much interested in promoting his work, or he didn't like the work of promoting. Tell us more about that.
Well, I think he was at his core, he was an artist, but he had to make a living, of course. And so he was able to paint a lot, and then he got to a point where he would be able to get commissions from football teams, the National Basketball Association, many people. Sylvester Stallone did a huge commission of a championship belt called The Metamorphosis of Rocky. And so he was able to paint and just be an artist. And he was lucky enough, like he always said, that, you know, the phone would ring.
That Marvin Gaye album, by the way, the 1976 album, I Want You. Dee Dee, also your dad maintained connections with Durham, with his mom, always stayed in touch with her.
Oh, always. He was a mama's boy for sure. And he would come home as often as he could, a lot of times, you know, every year for sure, to spend time with her. There were a few classmates that he would always see when he got here. And his main thing was to, as he said, sit up under mama. And his roots, he never forgot Durham. You know, Durham is depicted in a lot of his paintings. The homecoming, there's a marching band coming through Pettigrew Street. And that band really is supposed to be central in Hillside, North Carolina Central and Hillside. Then there are other paintings where his memories, Street Song, a painting called Street Song, Boys on the Block Singing. His Sugar Shack.
Sugar Shack
From the Durham Armory is something that he remembered from the Durham Armory.
Speaking of the Durham Armory, his familiarity with that has to do with his sneaking into shows, right?
Yes. My grandmother did not allow him to go to, there were dances in the Armory back then. And she told him that there was nothing good happening at those dances and for him not to go. But he was determined to go. And one time he dressed in my grandfather's tuxedo and snuck down to the Armory to go to the dance. And the Sugar Shack is what he remembered seeing at that dance.
It's amazing stuff. What about later on? Because I understand, Luce, that when you get to promoting the work, you say he's an artist, but he realizes, you know, you've got to at some point sell this stuff. But and maybe it was you, Dee Dee, or the family, or Luce, somebody who begins to realize that too much promotion and not enough art makes Ernie an unhappy man.
Yeah, that was right around when he started working. He got the Olympic artist. When the Olympics were in Los Angeles,
yeah.
Then he became the Olympic artist for those games. And he was doing so many interviews. You know, we were trying to figure out, why is he coming home and he's just in a bad mood? And then we figured out, well, he's interviewing all the time. He's not painting. So then we learned to schedule the interviews in between painting, so he'd paint for a day and have an interview, and paint for a day and have an interview, and he was much easier to live with after that.
Luce, tell us about this, what we're going to see now, because now we're finally putting together the North Carolina Museum of History is going to put on this exhibit. What are we going to see? What does it contain?
Well, there's a lot of unpublished work that you're going to see. A lot of the times his work literally went from the easel to someone's house. So unless they've been exposed, not many people see them. Of the 39 paintings that are in the exhibition, only five of them probably have been publicly seen. We have Jake coming, if people are familiar with that. That's the pool hall player. But 34 of them haven't been seen at all. There'll be a nice surprise for people. It'll show a nice range of his work. We have music. He did a series called Improv, where Ernie painted musicians without their instruments. We have one called Air Guitar. We have his first painting that he did in 1957 during his freshman year at North Carolina College. And you can tell it's one of his first paintings. It's a neighborhood scene, mostly of buildings. But there's hints of what will become his signature style.
That painting, Jake, which is one of the more well-known paintings, the pool hall, that was a Durham pool hall as well, right?
Durham pool hall. I believe it was called Yabadee's.
And you went to NC Central. Were you
doing? Yes, I did. Yeah, I went to Hillside and NC Central.
Did you pick up any of your dad's talent? Are you an artist?
I would say that I'm really good at drawing stick figures.
I see. And watching football.
Exactly.
I understand.
Exactly.
Luz, what is the legacy? What should we know about this man if we don't know already?
Well, he was a very important artist. Doing his researching him, of course, I knew him on a personal level, but to do research about North Carolina, you got to figure the time and put it in historical context. Ernie only went to segregated schools, and he said that it wasn't until he was drafted in 1960 and went to Baltimore that he was able to socialize with other races.
So this had an impact. Tell me more about that, Dee Dee. If he talked about that kind of thing at home, his, again, the first time he had to socialize with other races, but also his transformation from this guy who was being picked on to a guy who's actually playing professional football. Did he talk about sort of the way in which, if athletics played a part in his artistic vision?
You know, he did. He said that with football taught him a lot of discipline. And you know, the exercise that's needed in order to stay fit, the plays that he had to learn, and that discipline actually transcended into his art because he knew that he had to stay at it and he had to work hard, you know, at something like that, especially if he was going to make it a career.
Did he talk about how, or do you have a sense of how he might want to be remembered?
I think he would want to be remembered basically as a great artist. Because it was so much a part of him. It was basically every fiber of his being, you know, was art. And that's how I feel he would want to be remembered.
Where does he fit, Luz, in the pantheon of artists? Where is his place? And is there a legacy? Are there other artists who you can see trace their work back to or have part of his genetic material in their work?
Well, he's people are going to find out from this exhibition there were many sides to him, and he was greatly influenced by a lot of the things that he saw and lived. I want people to really have a sense of pride for Ernie Barnes, people in North Carolina, and also, you know, find a new significance when they see his art. Because many people, like you said, people only know one dimension of him, his football career and his good times. But he experienced a lot throughout his 70 years.
Luz Rodriguez worked with Ernie Barnes for more than 20 years and is co-executor of his estate. Dee Dee Barnes is the eldest daughter of Ernie Barnes. Thank you both for being on the program.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much. See you at the exhibition.
Now, the exhibition is called The North Carolina Roots of Artist Ernie Barnes. It will run from June 29th to March 3rd at the North Carolina Museum of History in Raleigh. And opening night is Thursday, June 28th, and that will feature a cocktail reception. Of course, we have all of this at our website, stateofthings.org. And North Carolina Central University is going to celebrate his 80th birthday on Sunday, July 15th, and that is at Duke Auditorium and at BN Duke Auditorium. And again, we have all the information at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, Durham-based guitarist John Shane with some blues.